And we'll recite the Apostles' Creed. Page 142. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our sermon text is from Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify us for himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On Wednesday, we spoke about the Creator and how the one who is the creator of heaven and earth teaches us that we are the creation, the created. And thus, as those who are created and all around has been created for us, we ought to thank and praise, serve and obey him for his wonderful creation. The second article of the Creed teaches us about redemption. And so, just as we learn, what kind of God do we have? Well, we have a God who created us in love and mercy that wishes to sustain us and provide for us. And so what do we mean when we talk about, I believe in Jesus Christ? Well, I mean nothing other than this one who is the true Son of God is a redeemer, a redeemer. Another way of speaking of the one who is a redeemer is to call him a Lord. That is, sometimes we say, he has become my Lord. Those things are synonymous. They actually teach the same thing. We tend to think in terms of Lord as simply a master or someone who has come to tell us what to do. But that is not it at all. To say that Jesus Christ has become my Lord is to say that the Lord is our righteousness. He is our salvation. He is our good. And all good comes from him. In other words, we were in slavery. We were in sin. We were in death. We were in hell. All evil then was Lord. It was over us. And Jesus freed us from that. Now, we were created in righteousness and holiness, but the devil deceived us. And when he deceived us, he became our Lord. And as a Lord, you might say he ran the show. And so we followed, we obeyed, we did what he said. Why? Well, first of all, he was the Lord and caused blindness to come upon us so that we thought that we were free when in fact we were in slavery. We thought that we were in light when in fact we were darkness. We thought that we needed this particular fruit in order to make us wise and to make us like God when in fact that is not what we needed at all. The Lord is a Lord of blindness. This Lord who took us over is also a Lord of death. We thought that by taking of this fruit that we might gain something that we didn't have, and this Lord, the devil, provided death for us. And so it came upon us that all would die. He brought to us sin. He brought to us that which not only offends against our God, but which hurts and harms us, hurts and harms our neighbor. And so he was the Lord of sin. This devil was also the Lord then of our sinful flesh. And our sinful flesh, which had sinful desires, had concupiscence, wanted to do these things, and the devil simply egged us on, tempting us along the way, and we actually wanted to. And so he was Lord over our flesh. And finally, as Jesus himself says, he is the ruler of this present world. He is the Lord of this world as well. And so all who fall in this world serve him. And so though we were made good, we were placed under a Lord, one who ruled us with blindness and with sin and with death and with the flesh and with the world. But Christ came, and that's what the second article teaches us. The second article teaches that he frees us from death, from the devil, from sin. He gives us gifts, things that are righteous and true, righteousness, life, faith, power, salvation, wisdom. This particular article, the second article of the Creed, is, we would say, the Christian faith. It is the center. It is the shining jewel by which everything else is shined upon and made brighter. It is the thing by which, if you don't believe the second article of the Creed, you are not a Christian at all. You might even believe you're created. You might believe there's a Holy Spirit. But without the second article of the Creed, this article, which is to be constantly preached, every service, that we are to believe in Jesus Christ our Lord, that he has in fact bought us back, that he has redeemed us from these lords who had taken control, and he has brought us, we would say, into his bosom. He has brought us into his love. He has brought us into his own body that we might be his. A couple things about this creed. It teaches us the one who has become our Lord. I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord. It teaches us who he is. That is, the one who redeemed us, who bought us back. Who is this Son of God? What kind of God do you have? Well, the Father is God only, but the Son is both true God and true man. He had to be true man that he might come and live under the law and that he might break us out. He had to come, you might say, into our world that he might break us out of this world. And as true God, he had to be so completely holy that the devil had no hold upon him. We might say, if the devil is Lord of all of these things, Jesus Christ came and said, that Lord has no power over it. Jesus didn't sin. He wasn't going to die. He didn't have blindness. He had the truth. In all these ways, Jesus Christ was completely without sin. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit so that he might be a God who could, well, pay what we, in fact, the debt that we had racked up. The other thing that the second article of the Creed teaches us, it teaches us about what he did as true God and true man. What did he do? Well, he came and he suffered. He died. He was buried. He made a sacrifice for our sins. He gave himself up for it. That is, to make himself a sacrifice that he might, well, pay what I owed. I deserve to die. He took what I deserved. He didn't come bringing silver and gold. He came giving of him his own self. None of the things that Jesus Christ did, he needed. What he did for us. You see, we were in the jaws of hell. We were about to be swallowed up, and Jesus snatches us away by his suffering death. And then, he, having defeated death, he returns us to heaven. He ascends back into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father that he might be our Lord. And as Lord, not only has he saved us, but he has also then worked in us. As I say, he has taken us to be unto himself, that we might have new desires, that those who were redeemed by the one who is the Redeemer, that we might love him in return, that we might then lead righteous lives as we are motivated by Him, that we might receive Him, that we too might, well, give of ourselves in love of our neighbor. And so this Jesus Christ, who is the Redeemer, has become our Lord. Our Lord, not that He might boss us around, but that He might be the King over us in His kingdom, and that He might give us gifts of righteousness and faith, well, and love towards our neighbor, that He might give us eternal life, that He might give us a rescue from death, that He might give us all these things. The second article teaches us that He is the Redeemer, and that we are His redeemed. And as those redeemed by God, we have been blessed immensely. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.